Does anybody else have rules?
No
lies. No fights?
No snowball fights.
No snowball fights. We didn't have that rule when I was growing up. We could have snowball fights. Oh, you have targets, but not people. You can't throw snowballs at people. That's a good rule. Do you always follow the rules?
No.
No. What would happen if we didn't have rules?
It'd be fun.
It'd be fun. What would happen if we? I have rules. Adults have rules. When I'm driving, I get to a red light. What do I have to do?
Stop.
And what would happen if I got to that red light and I didn't stop? That would be a pretty severe consequence, wouldn't it?
You might be used to sit the gas.
Yeah. There's lots of rules. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a bunch of rules. Well, there was 10 of them that were given. And does anybody know what any of those rules are? The 10 commandments? Can you say one?
Yes.
Love each other. Love each other, yes. I'm not going to read all of them. You're not supposed to steal, and you don't lie. And you don't kill, and honor your mother and father. Well, there were some rulers back when Jesus was on earth, not rulers, they were religious people. They wanted to trick Jesus, and they asked him, what's the most important rule? What do you think Jesus said? He didn't pick one of the 10. He said, you should love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And you should love your neighbors as yourself. Why do you think that Jesus said that was the most important rule, was to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Does anybody have any ideas? Do you think he wanted us to think about how important God was in our lives? And that if we didn't follow some rules, it'd be pretty chaotic, wouldn't it? And then he added, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Felix?
People who live beside you.
What about the people who live across from you? And what about the people that live in Waterloo? Are they your neighbor? No? Yeah? I think neighbors, that's a pretty... It's not just exactly the people right beside you. Is Lydia your neighbor?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? She's sitting beside you today. Do you think people that live in a different country are our neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think our church is doing, well, the group of churches is looking after some neighbors by sponsoring refugees that are coming from a different country to live here. So they might not be our neighbor right now in the physical sense, like right beside us, but they're going to be moving to New Hamburg, and someone here might live beside them or close to them. And go to the same school. So how do you show them, how do you love your neighbor? How would you do that? Yes, Anna Kate.
Be nice to them, and if they're new, maybe bring them a treat or something.
Bring them a treat, yeah.
Play with them,
that's right. Or what if someone else is picking on them?
You pick on the other person.
Or maybe just stick up for the person that's being picked on and tell the person who's doing that that's not the right thing to do. Yeah. Can you say these two, I guess, the most important rules together with me? Love the Lord your God. Let's say that. Love the Lord your God. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I love all of you. You're not my neighbors, but I've taught a lot of you Sunday school. And when I love myself, I give myself a treat. So I'm going to love you as I love myself. I have one of these open. And maybe you could take two and you could share it with someone that you love. All right, you can come up and have a treat.
If I can wish it.
You should share. You take one for yourself and treat. One to share with someone that doesn't already have some.
After the children's story, I'm not sure I need to even read our scripture passage because I think Brenda said it all. It was from Mark 12, 28 to 31. The other one from Mark 10, 28 to 30, Enrica will be doing in her sermon. So from Mark 12, a teacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer. So he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, the most important one is this. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two.
Now, before I start, this PowerPoint is going to be really boring because I'm not really good at that. So I asked Thomas yesterday to help me to spruce it up a little bit, but it got slightly too spruced up. So we're back to normal boring because I think you would have been too entertained by his version of it that you might have not been able to listen to my version. So, and I hope with the new clicker I'll be able to do this. Gratitude for the incredible generosity has filled my heart this week. At the end of our fiscal year, I've taken time to pause and say thank you for all you have given, both money, your time, and your talents to be the church today. This month, we had the opportunity to hear where some of our money has gone and what it is allowing others to do with it. At the beginning of the month, we heard from the Hansen family, who has lived in China for many, many years under the Mennonite Church Witness Program. We heard from the work at the Thrift Center, which contributes to the work of MCC. And Len Rempel shared last week about the work of the Global Anabaptist Church. Even though we have not personally traveled around the globe, our generosity has been able to reach and help people connect with each other from across the street to around the world. For me, often endings are great opportunities for new beginnings. One of my favorite birthday gifts is a morning or an afternoon alone with a cup or two of coffee to journal of all that was and hopes of what might be. I'm sure I'm not the only one who occasionally makes New Year's resolutions. Some are easier to follow through on than others, but many of us make them. Endings, be it the calendar year, a birth year, or a fiscal year, give us opportunity to look back and to gaze ahead. Overall, I feel it has been a full year, a good year, a blessed year. We've regularly worshiped God together. We've connected and deepened our relationships with each other through work and play here at the church, and we have scattered into the world to join God in our places of work, volunteer, and leisure activities. It has been deeply meaningful, but we don't want to rest on that feeling of last year's experiences. We need to continue to live as disciples of Jesus and into a new year. This morning, we've already heard a scripture passage from Mark. And I think I won't read it again because I think by now you might have even have it memorized. At the center of this scripture passage is the love of God and love your neighbor, A love that invests your heart, soul, mind, and strength in the service of God and others. The second scripture passage that I would like to add this morning, and I know it's small, maybe some of you can't read it, but it's in your Bibles, Mark 10, 17 to 30, and I will read it for you. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or field for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come." The man who approaches Jesus in this great story is a man of privilege. A man of wealth. He has everything to lead a comfortable life, and yet he knows this is not enough for him. He has a deep spiritual yearning. At the core of his question is, how can I deepen my relationship to the one who promises wholeness now and forever? Jesus invites this man to relaunch his life, to reinvent and to reprioritize all that he holds dear. This is a man of deep spiritual passion. And in verse 17 we read, he ran up and knelt up before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" His question is heard and acknowledged by Jesus, and he answered, "Sell your possessions and give them to the poor." A little further on in the passage, it gets more specific of what to sell. Homes, siblings, parents, or to leave. Siblings, parents, children, land. Some Christian groups have taken this verse very literally and are living in community. I don't think today we have to take this necessarily literally. Literally leaving home, siblings, parents, or children. But just because we don't take it not literally does not mean we don't take it seriously. It is interesting to consider what home, father and mother, brother and sister and land represent at a deeper level. A home represents for many a place where I belong. Brothers and sisters represent to whom I belong. Mother and father represents who I am. And children, especially in that time, represent my security. This passage is actually not as much about money per se, but rather about relationships. The man was challenged to leave behind security and prestige for a deeper relationship. This was countercultural then, and it is countercultural now. Like the rich man, we're following the commandments given to us. As the church, we also, like the rich men, get caught up in rules and dogma. And we can read this in so many of our Christian publications these days. It was refreshing to realize this week that Jesus actually does not care so much about the obedience of rules. I think, like Brenda said, we need to have some rules. But what at the core of his message about the kingdom of God is love, mercy, and grace. Those are the most important rules. Sharing our possessions, our wealth, our prestige allows us to deepen our relationship not only with God, but also God's children. Jesus has three great loves. Jesus loves God and is attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus invests in the relationships around him, especially with all those who are oppressed, marginalized, and he connects and instructs his disciples to express a deep passion for the world. As disciples, we must grasp this kind of love. This kind of love that calls us into relationship with God, each other, and the world. This love, however, has great potential to make us vulnerable. Such love radically strips us of all non-eternal securities, pretenses, and prestige. It completely exposes our vulnerability, our vulnerable selves, to grace alone. This kind of love will also be the birthplace of deep connection. A connection that will lead to hundredfold homes, brothers and sisters, children and fields. It will lead to the coming of God's kingdom here on earth. Sharing our possessions, both at the congregational level and personal level, exposes us to people, institutions, and places outside of ourselves. Following Jesus and giving up our prestige and security opens up opportunities for connection in which we feel seen, heard, and valued by those in our midst and those in other communities and places. As a church, we have committed to faithful discipleship. But Mark points out that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It does not say that a rich person cannot enter the kingdom of God, but it is hard, very hard. Wealth, possessions, privilege, opportunity can make us very busy. It is true for our family that our wealth, our privilege has given us plenty of opportunity, and I'm grateful for it. But it calls us as a family to be aware of the rhythm Jesus invites us into. Jesus, by example, shows us a rhythm which honors God and deepens connection and understanding with others. Jesus lives with the rhythm of up, in, and out. Let me explain. Up is Jesus had a deep relationship with God. He calls him Abba, Father. Jesus is attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus always took time to nurture this relationship. Often there are stories of him going up, praying, taking time to be with God. In. Jesus constantly invests in his disciples. He cares for many, many more people, but he's especially close to a smaller group, and he makes sure that he instructs them and cares for them. And Jesus enters daily into the brokenness of the world and deeply cares and loves the people he encounters on his way. This rhythm makes a lot of sense to me. However, the balance of it at times is challenging. This rhythm, when practiced at a congregational level and individually will not only help us feel balanced, but I believe also whole. I know that some of you lament the fact of the very close church community you once experienced. A lot of good was done, and I don't want to criticize those times. But looking at this rhythm of up, in and out, it actually wasn't quite balanced. Life was very in and up centered. It was often very Sunday centered. Today, I believe we tend to be more out-centered. We spend much more time involved with people outside of our church community, but we seemingly still haven't managed to find a balance. Many of us are more out-centered. Life in our workplace, our community, and the world dominates our journey. We're out, and sometimes we have little energy for in or up. We need to establish a rhythm of in, up, and out. We spend time together, coming together here to worship. Maybe some of you don't always feel like it, and you have it as a discipline of part of your life that you come. And when you leave, I hope that you feel somewhat refreshed and re-strengthened. We spend time with God, and we spend time in the community. We need time for holy habits, time for a deeper connection to the divine, the holy. And I don't know, I think a little while ago Matthew had put out, it's a blue flyer underneath the mailboxes with just some ideas of holy habits that we have used in our home. And I know that just this week the new Rejoice and Purpose came in. I know that many of you are using some holy habit on a regular basis. But if you haven't, there's a blue handout that says actually holy habit out there if you want to grab that. Find a time for holy habits, whatever that means for you. Time for being in a relationship with people who are also on the journey with Jesus. To worship together, to study together, to discern together, to interact together, to support each other, to strengthen each other, to affirm each other. We need this in-group of disciples on the journey. And we need time for being in the world, to see where God is moving and join in, to meet people who will energize us, move us, inspire us, and challenge us that might be different from what we're used to. When we find that rhythm and embrace this rhythm, we'll feel whole, and we as a church will be able to celebrate many more years in service to God and the world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. May this scripture guide all we do as we begin a new budget year. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'd ask the ushers to come forward for the morning's offering. Let us pray. Generous God, you gave us life. Now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work and play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere. Amen. If you have an announcement you would like to make or highlight that's in the bulletin, you can come forward at this time. I noticed there's a few names signed up on the bulletin board out the back there for the February the 13th women's meeting. Thank you for doing so. If you haven't and are interested in doing so, please look at the bulletin or the poster. I think it should be a good morning. And you've got today and next Sunday still, if you haven't, can't make up your mind that quickly to sign up for that morning. Thank you.
I'll quickly. February 27th, we're hoping to have a women's retreat, but we don't have a committee yet to plan it. So if you want to have something, it would be nice to have a few people help out, if you can speak to me after church.
So I have a few things to highlight. Our Lent agenda didn't get into the bulletin this week, but I just want to highlight that we will be having an Ash Wednesday service on February the 10th at 7 o'clock, a more contemplative service here in the sanctuary. And we will have a service Good Friday morning as well. And then for our Lenten visual preparations, we have a little project for you to do. We need, if you would like to see your name on a book, and you'll see more once the visuals are put together, we have a station downstairs where you can take a book and wrap it in paper and write your name on it, on the front and on the spine. And it sounds strange, I know, but it will all come together when you see on the first Sunday of Lent what we have set up in here. Also, we are doing a Lenten Women's Bible Study. It's a book study, DVD book study, on Wednesday evenings, so beginning February 17th at 6:30. I have a few books. I can always order more. So sign up on the bulletin board and indicate if you would like a book. We will be eating together, preparing a meal, probably at home, and then bringing the meal. So eating, sharing, and studying together. So we hope that you can join us. Thank you.
Just want to bring you an update about the Ray May family and where we're at. I don't remember last Sunday if I indicated, but just got an email last weekend that all our paperwork is done, and I moved on to working with another person, Sarah Brubaker, out of the MCC offices at Kent Street, no longer the immigration offices in St. Catharines. So inquired with her this week, is there any website, anywhere we can look to find where what the status is of the family? And she said no, but know as well that when I hear, they could be here within 72 hours. So with that in mind, we got keys for the house that is our group, Women Ignited, is renting for them for the year. It's at 290 Huron Street. It's a red brick bungalow. And so on Friday and Saturday, some of us went in, and if you went in at the beginning or the first day and would go in now, it's like a total transformation from what it was. If you wanted, I wish we'd taken pictures. Gloria would know. And I want to thank those people from our congregation who just came out, dug in, and I know that not everybody knew, but and helped out. And so Lori, Lois, Benedict, and Thomas, Danielle, and her daughters, Lauren and Avery, and Stephen. And there were three others from the other congregations, the Nevin and his Gingrich and his wife, and Carmen, who's getting the furniture there. I also want to thank everybody as well in our congregation who has donated items and household items. And the room we're putting them in is getting pretty full. So thank you so much. Couldn't do it without everybody's help altogether. Did I miss anything? There is a little bit of cleaning left. I've made a list, and I know that Hendrika was talking about possibly coming tomorrow. If you can help tomorrow afternoon, evening, or I can't. And yeah, talk to Hendrika, and I think we'll get it done. The only other thing is we might paint a room in the basement if we get approval. Thanks.
In your bulletins, there's a mention of a pancake supper, Shrove Tuesday pancake supper that's being hosted by Zion United Church and St. George Anglican Church. What isn't noted there is I believe all proceeds are going to interfaith counseling services, so a worthy cause. So if anyone's into pancakes, the proceeds will be going to a great cause. The other mention is that last week, Hendrika did a wonderful job of explaining what these yellow cards were in your bulletin. And in a nutshell, it's for anyone that doesn't currently have an email address registered with the church or a second email registered with the church. This is specific to our survey, online survey. PCRC would certainly appreciate as many online surveys as possible. So if anyone would like to do to give us an additional email address for their home, be that one time or multiple times, it's all on the form here, and I'll be at the back of the church to hand those out if anyone is looking to provide that information for us. Thanks.
Yes.
For some reason, people like to put envelopes into Andy's mailbox, but your surveys go into Terry's mailbox. They are very close together, and I'm sure the two men can figure it out as well. But if you have your envelope with your survey that you have filled on in paper, which we really, truly appreciate all your work that goes through, put them into Terry's mailbox, please. I can see it.
Yeah. I'm losing it. I got back to my seat and realized I forgot to thank Glenn Cressman as well, because if it hadn't been with Glenn and his truck, everything that was stored at Wilmot in their portable wouldn't be in the house. So thank you too, Glenn.
We're moving into sharing and prayer time, and I mean, one of our prayers is that now that we're ready, that hopefully our family will soon be on their way, and we will pray for them this morning as well. And I'm just going to because I need that reminder, and I have it written down. Their names are so easy, but it will probably take us some time, and maybe we're not saying it right. But we will be praying for the father, and his name is Ray. No, right? And then the mother is Ray May. And now the children, the daughter who is 16 is Play May. And a son who is Sue Ray. And a son who is Po Ray. And a daughter who is Tommy, and another daughter whose name is Me May. And they are 16, 14, 12, 9, and 7. And the names sound easy. I hope we pronounce it right, and it will be good to meet them when they come. Are there any joys and concerns you would like to share?
Don has been having some ongoing struggles to balance his life, and he is currently in the mental health unit at Grand River Hospital. I'm sure that he would appreciate any visits if you're able to do so, so that you can show that people do care for him. This has been an ongoing journey for the past 10 years, for us and my children. And I'm here to support my children along this way so that they don't have to take on the burden as and responsibilities of dealing with someone with a mental health disorder. And if you could also just keep in mind and support Jonathan and Amanda and Katie along the way as well, we would appreciate that. Thank you.
As a congregation, we want to remember that this is our time of review with the congregation and pastoral review, and we want to have guidance and focus while we go through this process, while we're completing surveys, when we're working as focus groups, and when the results are summarized.
Let us pray. Loving God, as followers of Jesus, we give you thanks. As a community, we have been blessed. Today, we celebrate the end of our fiscal year and with anticipation look forward of what the coming year will bring. Your love for the world is beyond our comprehension. God, open our eyes to the moments when we see and experience your great love right before our eyes. Help us to rethink this powerful message of love. This morning we pray for all those whose lives are lived in the turmoil of immigration, in the desperation of poverty, in the fear of illness and treatment, in the struggles for freedom and justice, in the weariness of war, in the bleakness of despair. You know each of them by name, and in silence we pray for all we know by name as well. This morning we pray for the Ramey family as they anticipate their big arrival here into a new country, a new place. Help us to be welcoming, open and understanding, and show your love. In the bleak of midwinter, it is often difficult to remember the light and warmth. We pray for all who feel surrounded by winter darkness, who have difficulty recognizing themselves during this time in their life. Infuse all with love and hope for a new season. This morning we bring dawn before you in his struggle with darkness. Be with him as he walks this long and difficult journey. We also pray for Jonathan and Katie and Amanda, and for Sue as she navigates this complicated situation. Let us be the hope and let us show love. God, we are thankful that we have many opportunities. And we give you thanks for the opportunity that together we can review our congregational and pastoral process. We ask and we pray that we all engage in it with honesty and with a sense of your guiding spirit as we continue to work on our online surveys, prepare for our focus groups, and work together. Thank you, God, for this church, for everyone who's present, and those who are part of it, wherever they may be today. As we continue to walk the path of discipleship, may we remind ourselves of the rhythm which you kept when you walked the earth. Make us a community that joyfully worships together. Make us a community of peacemakers and bridge builders when interacting with people in our world and beyond, and make us always a community who listens to your voice. Creator God, may we proclaim your good news to the world in the ways we're each able to and in ways which can be heard by those around us. May your spirit of love live within us. In your name we pray. Amen.
The first of our next three songs is found in the Duetang, number 84. And this song fits with the stewardship theme. We will be a little bit rough on our singing of it and playing, so bear with us, and we invite you to read the music and the words and sing along. Bethany will play it through once you get into your heads. Our next song is 324 in the hymnal, Seek Ye First. And we're going to sing this together all the way through once and then split into two groups, the left and the right. So Janilyn will lead the left side, and you'll sing the whole first verse through to the end of the Alleluia, and then sing the Alleluias, and we will join, Jackie and I will join you singing. We'll start with Seek Ye First. So I hope that's clear. Just follow us.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And we'll close with Ancient Words, which you'll find on the screen. This was our theme song at the retreat, so hopefully it's still familiar to you.
Take your blue hymnals again, and for our benediction, turn to number 763, and we will read it as it is written. We came to worship.
We go now to serve.
We have been given the light.
We go now to let it shine.
We have been blessed by God's love.
We go now to share it.
We are Christ's disciples.
We go now to witness to all.
Amen.